We're doing the Ramban, Lashat Torat Hashem Tmima, page Kuf Samachay, in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. And we had seen that the Ramban, throughout the letter, has been showing us the amazing things that the Torah teaches us about how the world works. And the Ramban had brought us to a point where we were discussing the concept of korbanot, sacrifices. And he says, this is something that defies our logic. We don't understand it, but we find in the Torah that it has great force, that the concept of bringing korbanot is very potent. And from the beginning of history, we see that people brought korbanot. And he had brought the first understanding that the concept of a korban is like kapara, like paying kofir, that is instead of the person himself, and that what the person is saying is, my blood should be spilled over what I've done. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to continue living and accept the sacrifice instead. And he had brought sources that Ibn Ezra would say are in support of this understanding of the concept of korbanot. And now he's continuing with the Ibn Ezra's understanding of korbanot. Gam yitbonen, we're at the top of the page, mikol korban soda tolada. Furthermore, he says, from each sacrifice, you could take note the secret of the order of things, creation, and what's more important than what. Hachatat v'amanot l'achayot morei Torah, the chata sacrifice and the portions that are given to the kohanim, that's to give life to support those who are teaching the Torah. Yohu mishpatecha, the kohanim's job is to teach the Torah. Ve'al da'ato, and according to the Ibn Ezra's understanding, korban ha'tamid l'kaparat ha'rabim, the tamid sacrifice is there to atone for the masses, liyot kofer al ha'chataim she'inam nodaim, to be, so to speak, a redemption for the sins that are not known. Ve'af al pi she'yesh miktzat korbanot al zadon, even though there are some sacrifices that are brought for things that a person did on purpose. For example, if a person takes a vow willfully, he takes a false vow, so then he has to bring a sacrifice. So nonetheless, enan bedavar shechayav karet, these sacrifices are not brought on something that one gets kares, gets cut off, ela bechiyuv lavin shen sham karat hanefesh. They are only on prohibitions which are lower level, the prohibitions which are lavin, where one would be punished if he did it, but he wouldn't get cut off. But the fact that the korban olam must always be from a male animal, and the chata sacrifice that's brought for a sin must always be from a female animal, and the other details of the korban, he doesn't know. He says, maybe God chose the more honorable species, for the male animal is more honorable than the female. Maybe that's why the ola is brought as male. Umikol makom, nonetheless, zetam na'eve roi lekablo. He says, even though he doesn't have it on tradition, it's a nice thought and it's worth accepting. Vemetu sheyesh la mitzvot haTorah toaliyot merubot gufaniyot nirot veruchaniyot. The truth is, he says, that the mitzvahs of the Torah, there are many aspects in which they help a person. Some are physical, and you could recognize them, and some are spiritual. Aval ha'malot shehefrit b'korbanot, but the levels that he mentioned with regard to sacrifices, shal yedem shechina shorah la'olam b'Yisrael, that through these sacrifices, the Shechina came down and rests among the Jewish people, v'shehamakom hanibchar ba'olam hashafel u'mekom ha'korbanot, and we see that God says, what's my most chosen place on the planet? The holy, the temple. And why is that? That's the chosen place where we bring sacrifices. Ve'ukisei Hashem ba'aretz, and that is God's throne on planet Earth. Elo advarim tzachim letam acher. He says everything that Ibn Ezra said is nice, but at the end of the day, when we see that the sacrifices are so potent, that the fact that God rests the Shechina on the Jewish people was brought about with a sacrifice, and the fact that the holiest place on earth is the place where we bring sacrifices, that leads us to desire another reason, another understanding, or a deeper understanding for the sacrifices. V'chasher istakalti b'divrei rabotenu, and when I look through the words of our teachers, lo ra'iti she'itmehu rak al para aduma v'al tzeira mishtalech. I found that there were only two things that Chazal were wondersome about. There were two things that seemed to defy their logic: the sacrifice of a para aduma, the red cow, and the goat that's sent out on Yom Kippur. Kmo shekatuv chukim, like the verse says, these are statutes. Elu dvarim sheyetzer rav umot ha'olam meshivin alein. Our sages said these are things that one's own bad desire or the nations would come and make claims. Why do you do it? It doesn't make sense. These are things that really they could come and make claims against. And we have many sources where our sages indicated that these two defy logic. When it came to King Solomon, it says he spoke about the different trees. Our sages said it means he was so smart he was even able to explain the different trees that are included in the preparation of the red cow. The kevan shebikesh Shlomo la'amod alei amar, amarti echkama v'echoka mimeni. And when Shlomo tried to really understand the concept of the para aduma, Chazal said about that, Shlomo said, I said to myself, I'll become wise, and I see that it's really beyond me. Ubevaday nireh mitam Chazal umin ha'ktuvim atzmam shakobanot ha'nasim bifnim bevet Hashem al mizbach Hashem lo yitmehu lahem. And certainly what we see from Chazal and from the verses themselves, that the verses say the only one that's a chok is the para aduma and the sarah mishtaleach, it seems to clearly indicate, the verses seem to indicate, and Chazal seem to indicate, that all the other sacrifices, they seem to be within our potential, within our understanding, and about them we shouldn't be left in a quandary. Sheyesh leim b'davar tam yadua v'nechbad. It seems like Chazal, to them it made perfect sense that we bring sacrifices. They had a good understanding of it. And the verse probably alludes to it in different places. That's the indication we get from Chazal. But the korban, that's a sarah mishtalech, that we send it out, and that's sent out through the land. That's the way we do sarah mishtalech. We send it through the land, goes a distance to that jagged cliff on Yom Kippur. This Chazal said, the Torah tells us to do it, but it seems very similar to bringing a sacrifice to the demons. We see that the Torah tells us, don't bring any more sacrifices to the demons. Where do they bring sacrifices to the demons? They'd go out to the desert. They'd go out to lands that were uninhabited, and you'd hear the winds blowing, and over there, people went and brought sacrifices. They say, you hear the wind howling, those are the demons. That's where we bring sacrifices to the demons. Till today, all the different groups, Satan groups, where they go to do their stuff? They go into caves, they go all kinds of places in the wilderness. So God tells us, once a year I want you to take a goat and take it out to a jagged cliff, and I don't want you to continue going to the demons and doing what other people do going to the demons. That you're not supposed to do. So Chazal say, but wait a second, what God did tell us to do is very similar to what people do to the demons. There Chazal questioned. And that's why Chazal said the nations have room to come and say, oh, you see, you're just like us. You're also going out to the wilderness to take an animal. And Chazal said, that's what the Torah warned us, that the nations in this mitzvah do have room to make a claim. You see, you're also serving the demons like us. We know it's not like that. Yeah, the Seir La'azazel. Over there, the Torah says, it's a chok. And Chazal say, what the Torah was telling us is that it's a statute, this is what I'm telling you to do, but you should know that the nations are going to come and make claims. You see, you're just like us. You're also taking an animal out to the wilderness. And the Yetzer Hara drives a person to think, wait a second, if Hashem told us to take one goat out once a year, maybe what they're doing all year long, maybe there's something to it. So by this mitzvah, Chazal said, we're left in a quandary. The Torah tells us to do it, we do it, but it's a difficult mitzvah. It's a difficult mitzvah to understand. V'chen para aduma, so too the red cow. Ein avodah, we don't do any service before God with that cow. Ela nishchetet b'chutz, but rather we take it out of the temple, and outside the temple we slaughter it, v'nisrefet chutz l'machane, and it's burnt completely outside the camp. So again, you have the same things that people could claim. You see, you're serving demons. You have a temple for God. How come you take two animals and you deal with them outside the temple? The fact that you take these two animals out leaves room for the nations to come and bug you and say, you see, you're just like us. So when it comes to the goat that's sent out, that the Ibn Ezra already taught us, Shekatav, the Ibn Ezra wrote, Vim tavina sod shachal milat azazel. If you'd only know the secret behind the word Azazel, that the Torah says, take this goat out to Azazel. Says the Ibn Ezra, if you'd only understand the word Azazel, Teda sodo v'sod shmo, ki yesh lo chaverim b'mikra. You'd know the secret of this goat, and you'd know the secret of its name, because there are other places in the Torah where we have similar concepts. V'hu davar pashut umfurash b'breishit rabba. And says the Ramban, this is something that's really simple. It's explicit in the Medrash Rabbah. V'nasa ha-sa'ir alav. The pasuk says, the goat will carry on it the sins to wild territory. Zeisav. The Medrash says, sa'ir is Esav. We know that Esav is called the sawyer. So what we're doing with the goat is we're taking this goat to be, once a year we take a goat that's corresponding to Esav, and that goat is supposed to go out to the wilderness, etc. Let's see. And so to the Medrash says in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Shachad Liploni. We give a bribe to so and so. And that's what our sages say. The Satan doesn't speak badly about us on Yom Kippur. And all these are really put together nicely in the Agadas that I made. So, the Ramban says, I've told you as much as I'm about to tell you when it comes to the goat. And when it comes to the Parah Aduma. So the Ramban says, the only two instances where the sages tell us the nations will question us is with regard to the Parah Aduma and the goat. Everything else is supposed to make sense. So we'll still have to see how it makes sense. What's special about the goat and the cow? That you take them outside the temple. If you take them outside the temple, so then it seems like you're serving the demons. Really, we're not. So you want to know what the secret is, you have to understand what the word Azazel means. If you'd only understand what the word Azazel means, you'd understand the concept of the goat. You want to understand, says the Ramban, I'll tell you, it's simple. It's the concept that the goat really is representative of Esav. Okay, now do you understand? The Ramban tells us in his introduction to Torah, he says, when I say things in Kabbalah, if you don't have a tradition, you won't understand. And if you think you understand without a tradition, so you should know you don't understand and you're making a mistake in thinking you understand. So better you know that you don't understand and you don't make mistakes. So then we ask ourselves, then why did the Ramban write it, right? I guess for those who have a tradition, they could figure out what the Ramban is saying. The question is, do we apply that here as well? I'm always at a doubt myself how much I should add my own explanation. Because I don't have a tradition. So I think I know what the Ramban is meaning to say here. But I'm very scared of saying pshat when, I don't know, I don't have a tradition. And the Ramban is saying very few words to encompass a very big topic. Remember, the Ramban said this is an area where the Torah is telling us this is a statute. The sages are saying the nations will bug you with it and they'll have room to bug you with it. It's not going to be easy to answer them. And now the Ramban says, I'll tell you, it's simple. It's just this. And in one sentence, we're supposed to understand the whole concept. So I think it's better we leave it as a question than to try and say an answer that just might be wrong. Yeah?
Was the goat at all a symbol of, you know, kind of whatever, a god, or the para, you know, any forms of idolatry around Israel? Like, was that a god?
I don't know. The cow definitely was. The goat, I don't know. The cow, when they served Baal Peor, so very often, not Baal Peor, I'm sorry, when they served Baal. So Baal, there were different forms of Baal. One of the forms of Baal was in the shape of a cow or an ox. Yeah. Baal, they believed in Baal of fertility, and that was represented by the ox.
So is it possible that those who came had something to do with coming against the Baal, against those nations, against... Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. Let's look at the Pasuk. Torah tells us in the parasha of the Sar La'azazel in Achrimos, the Torah tells us amazing psukim. It says like this: V'samach Aaron et shtei yadav al rosh ha'seir achai. Aaron places two hands on this live goat. V'itvada alav et kol avonot bnei Yisrael v'et kol pishen mechol chatotam. He will say a confession over this goat for all the different forms of sin that the Jewish people have done. V'natan otam al rosh ha'seir, and he'll place them on the head of this goat. V'shilach biyadi shiti amidbara, and he'll send it in the hands of a man. Ish iti will translate like Rashi, an appointed person, to the desert. And the goat will carry all their sins to this land that's desolate, to the wilderness. He'll let the goat go in the desert. That's what the Torah says. So there are a few more psukim, but the pasuk says, "Vayitah lachem lechukat olam." This will be for an eternal statute for you. But what's this talking about? Just a second. There's one more psuk I want to read. So there's another pasuk, but I'm not finding it now. The pasuk says later on in the parasha, it says about the sacrifices that a person brings. Just after this commandment, the Torah says, you're not allowed to bring a sacrifice outside the temple. All sacrifices must be done in the temple. Meaning the Torah just told us on Yom Kippur, you do sacrifices, you take this animal outside the temple. Then the Torah says, and all sacrifices must be brought within the temple. One who brings a sacrifice outside the temple gets a steep punishment. And the Torah continues and says, "V'lo yizbechu od et zivcheihem la'seirim," and they shall no longer offer their sacrifices to the demons. Asherhem zonim acheihem. These demons that they've been accustomed to go astray after them. So the Torah says, "I don't want you doing sacrifices outside the temple the way you've been going after demons." Yet the Torah just said just before that, bring this animal outside to the desert. Send it out in the wilderness. So what's going on? So I think it's more proper to just say it's a good question. Chazal raised the question. The Ramban told us a one sentence answer, and he prefaced it by saying the Ibn Ezra said it's a secret, and if only we'd understand the secret of the word Azazel. So what's the secret of the word Azazel? That's a good question. We once had a class on that. The different commentaries give different answers. What is the secret of Azazel? So we have a medrash about two angels. The two angels that came down, and one of them stayed down, Azazel. And he was the one, he's the troublemaker in the world. There are different things to say. Maybe the Ibn Ezra meant this, or maybe the Ibn Ezra meant that. But being that I don't have a tradition, so I say with a one-sentence answer, the Ramban literally with a one-liner says, now I've answered it all. obviously, he answered it all. If you know what he's talking about, I don't. So all we know is the Ramban says the goat represents Esav. The goat is Esav. And the concept of the Sar La'Azazel is some kind of bribe. And through this we say the Satan doesn't speak badly about us on Yom Kippur. How does any of this work? I don't know. On Yom Kippur, the Satan doesn't speak badly about us. He doesn't persecute us.
Because of the sacrifice?
Oh.
because that's like the day. I mean, the Satan is really like the prosecutor, so to speak, right? So that's the day. That's like going in front of the Supreme Court day. I mean, that's like the day for the Satan to shine.
And Chazal say on that day he's quiet. Chazal say on Yom Kippur, Hashem says, the Satan is Gematria HaSatan, Gematria 300, and Yigar Hashem Becha HaSatan. Shinun 350. Shinun Hei 355 plus 9 is 354. Chazal say, he doesn't, 364. Right? HaSatan is Gematria 364. Chazal say 364 days a year the Satan talks. There's one day a year he doesn't talk. What's that one day? Yom Kippur. And the Medrash says that the reason it's Yom Kippur is because he's given a bribe on Yom Kippur. Okay? And the Ramban wants to put it all together. So he says, I've tied all these things together well in a Haggadah that I did. So now let's go back to the main point. What about the sacrifices? These are the two points which we say they defy our logic. But what about the reasons for karban? That's what it says in the Pesukim. Moshe tells Paro, we'll sacrifice before Hashem our God, lest he hit us with a plague or sword. Hodio lefaro, he let Paro know. Shaya chacham bitvaim. Adon Achartumim v'am Chashvim, Paro was wise when it came to nature. He was the master of the different sorcerers and warlocks. She'em einam zuchim nashedim. We don't sacrifice to the demons, ela l'Hashem. We want to bring a sacrifice to God. Hashem hachadash yitbarach shehodiyo Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. When he told him the tetragrammaton, that was the new name, blessed be he, that God let Moshe know, this is my name. And now Moshe is coming with that name to Paro. V'tamala v'amar. Yeah, so Paro wondered, he said, Lo yadati she'yev shalze. I don't know that such a thing is possible. To sacrifice before God, not to sacrifice to the demons. V'chaz v'chai letam shelo yipgaim badaver. And he said, you know, we have to bring a sacrifice lest there be a plague. And the fact that Moshe used the word pen yifga'enu, paga, those who know the secret behind it, well, then it's clear why he used that word. Okay, so when we'll be privy to that secret, we'll understand. The Ramban in his commentary over there on the Parsha also says that if you'd only understand the word pgi'a, you'd understand that the concept of a kapara is kapara mipgi'a. What does that mean? I don't know. Ve'ota makoban, so the Ramban did us one over, right? He said it's all Kabbalah, and if only you'd understand, you'd understand.
Paga is in Jew. Yes,
that's right. Paga can mean to bump into. Paga can mean to hurt. Paga can mean to pray. Paga has a few meanings. What does the Ramban mean? He's not telling us. He says, if only you'd understand, you'd understand. Right?
Okay. Secured by these 10 plagues.
Maybe. Ve'otam ha-korban de'el b'mizmor she'izkalti. And furthermore, if you want to understand the korban, you could understand it from that chapter in Tehillim that was mentioned earlier, chapter 50. That the pasuk says like this, Lo al zevachecha ochichecha, God tells the Jewish people, I won't rebuke you over your sacrifices. Umforash mizeh, what we see from here, Im ta'atzreini lo'ochad b'lachmecha. If you hold on to me, the angel says, I'm not going to eat your bread. You want to bring a sacrifice? Bring it to God. I don't need your bread, right? When the angel came and he told them that they'd have a son, he told Manoach and his wife. So they said, come, let us honor you. So the angel says, if you give me to eat, I'm not going to eat your bread. You want? Bring a sacrifice to God. V'sham k'tuv b'lav ha-mizbech. And over there it says the angel went up in the flame of the altar. V'amur rabotenu b'sof svachim. So our sages said in the end of svachim, bo rei ma k'tuv b'pashat ha-korbanot. Come see what it says in the parsha of the sacrifice. She'en k'tuv v'en lo eloha lo elohim lo elohecha v'lo alef dalet el ayud kev havke. Whenever it talks about sacrifices, God doesn't use any of his nicknames. Any of the names that speak about God's power, it doesn't say God, it doesn't say the potent one, it doesn't say your God, it doesn't say your master. All it says is the tetragrammaton, Yud Kei Vav Kei. She'lo liten pitchon pe le'bal din lachlok. Not to give an opening for someone to argue and say, oh, you see, God says, just appease my officer, just appease this star, just appease this demon. No, God always uses his own personal name, the tetragrammaton, when he speaks about the sacrifices. Ve'elu dvarim mifatchei einayim shelev. These things should open the eyes of the heart. Ve'akadosh baruch hu yakim banu mikra shekatuv ve'aval Hashem minchat Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Hashem should fulfill within us the verse that says it should be pleasant before God the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem. So, what's the Ramban telling us? God saying, I don't need your bread. So then, why do we bring the sacrifices?
For our souls.
So maybe that's what he's saying. Because what happened there? Manoach got good news. Manoach said, I want to thank you for the good news. The angel says, don't thank me, don't offer me bread. Go on, bring a sacrifice to God. So it would seem, again, we're saying a lot of things that the Ramban didn't write overtly. The Ramban gave us one-liners. So he says, and if only, this should open the eyes of your heart. What does the Ramban mean? I'm not sure. But maybe he means, like Asher Chaim said, that just like by Manoach, the sacrifice was a concept of giving thanks, so here too, maybe this would even be a slight nuance of difference between the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra, where the Ibn Ezra stressed that this is, so to speak, a kapara, kofir, this is instead of me. And if this is the correct understanding in the Ramban, then it might be a thanking, not just a instead of me, but thank you Hashem for not taking me for my sins. Meaning, I recognize I did wrong. I am going to say vidui. I will confess, here's what I've done wrong. And then the sacrifice is a certain way of giving thanks for not having taken my life for what I did wrong. But again, we're saying a lot of things that it doesn't say clearly in the Ramban. I'd much rather say things I had a tradition on, and I don't have a tradition on what the Ramban meant by this. Oh, so you're saying korban, the word korban means to bring close. That's a possible understanding, but it still needs work. I mean, the question is also how we understand what happened with Manoach and his wife. I mean, we're assuming it was a sacrifice of thanks. There's room to say that it was also they wanted to seal the deal. And there's a question, maybe the sacrifices also work that way. If we make a deal and then we eat over the deal, then the halacha says that eating, drinking a cup of wine over a deal, sometimes when you make deals, like in the jewelry industry, you drink a l'chaim, you've closed the deal. So the question is there an aspect where the sacrifice might be that also? That it's a sealing of the deal. God, you've given me life for this sin. You've given me atonement. I'm not going to go for it. Or we also have to address the fact that there are sacrifices that are thank you. Sacrifices that are thankful. So this, it's interesting also that the Ramban saw no need to mention the Rambam, Maimonides' understanding in sacrifices. The Ramban gives us all kinds of Kabbalah, going with Ibn Ezra, going with his own chat, but he doesn't even mention Maimonides. And one of the issues that the Rishonim were very upset at the Rambam over in his Mor Nevuchim was this, the Rambam's explanation of sacrifices. So, Bezrat Hashem, if we ever merit to learn more Nevuchim, maybe we'll understand what the Rambam says. So far what we've seen, let's summarize what we saw today. The Ramban says there's a lot that can be learned from the sacrifices, what God said to do with the different portions of the sacrifice, and the Ramban in that really concluded with Ibn Ezra. So, he had said that just like the Torah has mitzvahs that are good for our material, our physical bodies, so too there are aspects where the Torah helps us spiritually, and the korbanos bring the Shekhinah, etc. The Ramban says this isn't a good enough reason to understand why the Shekhinah came through the Karban, and the Karban is what brought, what makes the Temple Mount the holiest place on earth. So he says, we see that our sages were only bothered by the two things that were brought outside the temple, the Sarah and the Parah Aduma. So the rest of the things should make sense. How do the rest of the things make sense? So, and that the Ramban tells us, the rest of the things make sense if you understand that chapter in Tehillim, where God says, I don't really need your sacrifices, I won't rebuke you for not bringing sacrifices. And where the angel says, if you hold on to me, I won't eat your bread. You want to bring a sacrifice to God. And if only you'd understand the word lahav, the flame that goes up on the altar, and that when it came to the sacrifices, God uses his personal name, then you'd understand the concept of the sacrifice. Okay? So I think we're left without understanding. And we have to remember the Ramban's pivotal questions. How could it be that the sacrifices are what made the Shekhinah rest among the Jewish people, and they made the Temple Mount be the chosen place? And these are very strong questions. The Ramban raised the questions and then went off to a discussion of Sar Lazazel and Parah Aduma. And when he came back to explain to us the concept of Karban, he left us with Kabbalah. And if you recall, we discussed last week, I don't remember if it was in this class or a different class, we discussed that Kabbalah is when you take something physical and you talk about it spiritually. And what the second we're going to discuss something like that, like the sacrifices or the temple or the building of the temple, we're entering a realm which is Kabbalah. It's borderline between idol worship. If God wouldn't tell us to build a temple, a physical place to serve him, then building a physical place with figurines of angels in the Holy of Holies, that would be idol worship. Or at least it would be very, very similar to idol worship. God tells us to do it, it's holy. How do we understand that? You have to have Kabbalah to understand that. That's where God says, take something physical and do spiritual. Take a temple mount, take a sacrifice and bring a sacrifice. How does any of this work? So all of this is going to be Kabbalah. Kabbalah, that's what Kabbalah is. It's the concept that there are physical things that you do that are spiritual. We know all mitzvot are physical, but I mean physical in the sense of the service of God directly, like bringing a sacrifice. So, okay, all of this means work, but it shouldn't bother you too much, or else I'll bother you a little bit more, however you want to word it, because the fact that we pray is also, it's an extension of korbanot. God needs our lip service, God needs us to talk, so that everything begins with the understanding God doesn't need anything. So then why did God give us these commandments? So obviously there's an aspect where these commandments are beneficial to us, and God behaves as though they're beneficial to him. That's the starting point. Meaning God said, I treat the world as though you've done something for me by doing this. I don't really need you. I don't need your sacrifices. But if you do it, so then you've done something which I will behave as though you've done me a favor, so to speak. That's a starting point. Beyond that, for now we'll have to leave it hanging. But you know that this was addressed in the Kuzarin and the Mor Nevuchim. We're learning one explanation or an opening of the eyes of the heart, like the Ramban worded it, to the concept of Kovanot. But beyond this, so if this question perturbs you, so continue learning, and Bezat Shem, you'll see what the Kuzari says, and you'll see what the Rambam says, Mor Nevuchim, among others. There are more commentaries and more explanations.